Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for this Monday, November 12th, 2018. Coming up this hour,
oil climbs as Saudi Arabia says it will cut crude sales.
The pound and euro weaken as risks from Brexit and Italy mount.
Alibaba reports record sales for its 10th annual Singles Day.
And Europe's biggest tech company makes its largest acquisition ever.
Destructive and deadly wildfires continue to burn in both ends of California. Plus, Florida will recount the Senate and governor's races. I'm Mike LaBarre. Those stories and more ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. Miserable day for the Jets, blown out by the Buffalo Bills. Knicks also lost badly at home to Orlando. Devils fell at Winnipeg.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm John Tucker. Bloomberg Daybreak is being brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit SectorSPDRS.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF.
And stocks are turning lower. U.S. futures following suit. It is 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are little changed. Dow futures down 26. NASDAQ futures higher, up 21. The DAX in Germany is down about 0.75%. The CAC in Paris down 0.3%. FTSE 100 is up 0.2%. Nikkei 225 in Japan gained 0.1%, while the Hang Seng in Hong Kong was also up 0.1%. The U.S. bond market closed in observance of Veterans Day. COMEX gold, meanwhile, little change, down 80 cents to 1207.80 an ounce, and the yen 113.93. This data check brought to you by PGIM and the Search for Alpha. Partner with PGIM, Global Investment Management Businesses of Prudential Financial Inc. John.
And oil is climbing as Saudi Arabia says it will reduce crude sales next month. The surge also comes amid speculation OPEC will cut output next year. Bloomberg's James Poole has more.
Saudi's going to ship 500,000 fewer barrels a day in December. Just in 3 weeks' time, the cartel will get together in Vienna to map out strategy formally for 2019. So it definitely want to put the floor under the market here because they're worried about funding their budgets. But obviously, I suppose they don't want the price to go too high on the other hand because it would cause political frictions.
The Saudis are taking the lead to counter a slide in crude of about 20% over the past month. Checking prices right now, Brent, the international benchmark, is up $1.15 at $71.33. West Texas is up 58 cents a barrel at $60.77.
The British pound weakening sharply as pressure mounts on Prime Minister Theresa May to abandon her Brexit plan. Joining us live with the latest from London is Bloomberg Daybreak Europe anchor Marcus Carlson. Good morning, Marcus.
Good morning, Karen. Good morning, John. Yes, after 16 months of talks, hopes have been building that a deal over Britain's departure from the European Union is close. But the momentum seems to be fading, with concerns building that Theresa May won't get her own parliament's backing. Pro-EU lawmakers from the Conservative Party say the deal would be the worst of all worlds, that leaves the UK tied to the EU without a say. Eurosceptics, meanwhile, demand a clean break from the bloc. Taking a closer look at sterling this morning, the pound is currently weakening by a percentage point against the dollar, with cable at one spot 28.43. Live in London, I'm Marcus Carlson, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Marcus. The euro trading near the weakest level in 16 months. Currently, it's at $1.12 as the budget battle with Italy continues and the European Commission prepares to take them on. Bloomberg's John Fullane has details in this report from Rome.
Officials in Brussels could soon kickstart a disciplinary process to tackle Italy's unprecedented challenge to EU budget rules. Rome has until Tuesday to deliver a fresh budget, but Italian officials have already said that they are determined to stick to their plan for benefit spending, tax cuts, and a lower retirement age. In Rome, John Fullane, Bloomberg Daybreak.
John, thank you. Stocks in China posting gains to start the week, while other markets in Asia struggle for direction. Bloomberg's Yvonne Mann has details from Hong Kong.
The Nikkei ended the day flat in Tokyo. Sydney shares up 0.3%, with energy stocks following oil higher. The CSI 300 and Shanghai Composite in China gained more than 1% after Alibaba's blockbuster of a singles day with a record $31 billion in sales, despite rising tensions between the U.S. and China. In Hong Kong, I'm Yvonne Mann, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Yvonne, thanks. Now let's get more of those record sales from Alibaba's 10th annual Singles Day event. Bloomberg's Tom McKenzie reports from Shanghai.
Another record 27% increase from the number that we saw in 2017. They racked up sales of more than 30 billion last night. Apple phones, Xiaomi phones, also Dyson vacuum cleaners amongst the top three products purchased by consumers. In terms of countries that were shipping goods to China and the consumers here, the top three nations included Japan, South Korea, and the U.S. as well, interestingly.
This marks Alibaba's last Singles Day event with Jack Ma as chairman. He's set to step down from the role next year.
SoftBank is seeking to raise $21 billion with an initial public offering of its Japanese telecom operations. It would be Japan's largest IPO yet, with shares expected to start trading on December 19th. SoftBank founder Masayoshi Son is listing the company's cash cow as he transforms SoftBank from a telecom operator into a global investment company.
And shares of British American Tobacco plunging on news of a possible U.S. ban on menthol cigarettes. According to the Wall Street Journal, FDA commissioners Scott Gottlieb plans to pursue new restrictions on the cigarettes, which are popular with younger smokers and generate as much as a quarter of BAT's profit. Shares are down 8% in London.
Europe's biggest technology company is making its largest acquisition ever. SAP has agreed to buy Qualtrics International for $8 billion. Qualtrics is a Utah-based company that creates software to gather and analyze data. Shares of SAP are lower by 3% following the announcement.
And it's art auction week in New York, and if the first night was any indication, there isn't much demand. Works by Claude Monet and Pablo Picasso led Christie's mixed auction of Impressionist and modern art yesterday. The sale totaled $279 million. That's down 42% from a year ago. Of the 61 offered lots, 15% failed to find buyers, including a Vincent van Gogh painting that was estimated at about $40 million. One of the biggest concerns heading into the week was how active Asia buyers might be in light of tighter enforcement of capital controls by the Chinese government. S&P futures right now unchanged. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. And it's now 5:07 on Wall Street. Let's get news from around the world this morning. And we say good morning to Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Good morning, John. Wildfires continue to rage in Northern and Southern California. Officials say they found six more dead in a swath of Northern California wiped out by fire. That raises the death toll to 29. Another 228 remain unaccounted for as crews stepped up the search for bodies and missing people. Butte County Sheriff Corey Honig.
These are more challenging investigations and autopsies because you're often dealing with the remains of humans who have been burned, and in some cases you might only have bones.
Two people were killed in a wildfire in Southern California. President Trump received backlash for his tweet blaming gross mismanagement for devastating wildfires in California. Republican Senator Lindsey Graham on CBS's Face the Nation says his heart goes out to those killed and those who have lost homes.
These are historically large wildfires in California, but we do have a forest management problem all over the country we need to address. But, you know, California will receive the money they need, but going forward, we need to look at some of the underlying causes of these fires.
Face the Nation can be heard Sundays on Bloomberg Radio. Florida Senate and governor's races have gone to a recount that will decide two key offices in the state. The Republicans' advantages in those races have fallen below the 0.5% threshold to trigger a mandatory recount. Acting Attorney General Matthew Whitaker is said to have told associates that the Justice Department, under his leadership, won't cut the budget for Special Counsel Robert Mueller's investigation into Russian election interference. French President Emmanuel Macron had 60 world leaders in attendance in his commemoration for the end of World War I to warn them of the dangers of nationalism. Bloomberg's Gregory Viscusi has more from Paris.
He told them that nationalism is the very opposite of patriotism and issued grim warnings about how the world was back at war 20 years after World War I. Nationalist movements are on the rise across Europe, but Macron's comments seem most aimed at U.S. Donald Trump, who proudly declared himself a nationalist at the U.N. in September and sat grimly throughout the speech Sunday. In Paris, Gregory Viscusi, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. Coming up on 5:10 on Wall Street, time now for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Report being brought to you by Investors Bank. And good morning, John Stashower.
John, Jets coach Todd Bowles' seat just got a whole lot hotter. With the Jets going to their bye week, he might get fired now or maybe after the season, but his future can't be called bright with the Jets 3-7 and having lost yesterday at home to lowly Buffalo 41-10. The Bills had a 31-0 lead in the first half. How does Bowles explain it?
You can't. You give them some credit, and we stunk it up as coaches. We stunk it up as players at the same time. We didn't play well.
As for his job security,
I don't worry about my job. I don't talk about my job. I just try to get to the next game. It's the business when you sign up for it.
That next game figures to be a lot tougher. It's against New England in 2 weeks. Patriots yesterday lost to Tennessee, ending their six-game win streak. Kansas City and the L.A. Rams both won at home. They're both now 9-1. Another win for New Orleans. Saints are 8-1. Upset last night in Philadelphia. Dallas won 27-20. Both teams are 4-5. The Eagles look nothing like the team that won the Super Bowl a year ago. They've lost three straight home games. The Giants have their first game in over 2 weeks tonight in San Francisco. As bad as the Jets looked yesterday, the Knicks may have been worse. Orlando won the first quarter 30-10, a magic rout at the Garden, 115-89. Orlando with 17 three-pointers, easily the Knicks' worst loss of the year. The Devils ended their seven-game road trip 1-6, a 5-2 loss at Winnipeg. MLS playoffs, the Red Bulls, after losing last week, beat Columbus 3-0 to advance to play Atlanta, who eliminated NYCFC with a 3-1 victory. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. John?
All right, John, thanks. Ian, other sports news, the Yankees may be closing in on a big purchase. The New York Post reports the team is in talks to buy the entire YES Network. It currently owns about 20%. Disney must sell some assets, including YES, as it looks to complete its $71 billion takeover of 20th Century Fox. The paper says in 2014, the Yankees obtained the right to buy the 80% it didn't own if YES was sold. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And the sports report was brought to you by Investors Bank. Business wins here. Connect your team with the experts at Investors Bank for business solutions to move your business forward. Investors Bank, banking in your best interest. Member FDIC.
Global News, 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Stocks turned lower in Europe. U.S. stock index futures paired earlier gains as investors weigh the outlook for equities after a roller coaster few weeks. The dollar strengthening, oil snapping a 10-day sell-off, and U.S. bond markets are closed in observance of Veterans Day. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down 1.5 points now. Dow futures down 45. NASDAQ futures up about 10. DAX in Germany is down 0.7%. The NYMEX crude oil is up 0.8% or 47 cents to $60.64 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.1% at $1.30 to $12.0730 an ounce. The euro at $1.1254 and the yen 113.91. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Karen. At least 29 people have now been confirmed dead in a Northern California wildfire, and another 228 are unaccounted for. 10 search teams have been working in and around the town of Paradise, which was largely wiped off the map last week. In Southern California, at least 2 people are confirmed dead from wildfires in Los Angeles and Ventura counties. The fight for a Senate seat and the governor's office is intensifying in Florida. The state is in the middle of recounting the votes from last week's midterm election because of razor-thin margins. In the NFL, the Jets lost to the Bills 41-10. The Patriots and Raiders also lost. The Redskins won. Tonight, the Giants are at the 49ers. In the NBA, the Knicks and Celtics lost. In the NHL, the Devils lost along with the Capitals. The Bruins won. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. It is now 5:19 on Wall Street. Let's bring in our first guest. The euro sliding to a 16-month low. you can blame political risk. Let's talk to Michael Metcalf. He's the global head of macro strategy at State Street. Michael, plenty of risk out there. What are you looking at?
Oh, well, morning, John. I think political risk is an obvious place to start this morning. We've had the usual weekend digest of the Brexit news, and we're waiting to see what happens with the Italian budget.
Where do we go from here with the euro at 112.53 right now, down a 0.7% against the U.S. dollar?
Well, we've tested new lows. One thing I would say, which I think is interesting, is that in past sort of bounce of euro weakness we've had this year, there's been a much more highly developed sense of consensus risk, which I'm not sure that we have today. So I think that there's been a lot more two-way risk, and so we don't see much evidence that the euro is oversold yet, which means that if there is more bad news to come out of Europe, then more downside could beckon, and we could make lower lows. The only thing I would say about Italy is that we have to remember that Italy has been in excess of deficit procedures before. So, yes, the market will take that as a shock if it escalates, but, I'd be very wary of extrapolating this into something much bigger for Italy because, we've been in excess of deficit procedures before.
I'd be remiss if I didn't mention sterling right now, cable down 1%. I mean, where does this end?
Well, let's just hope it ends in a Brexit deal of some kind. I think that's the real challenge here, is that we've had bouts and quite long little periods of optimism where it looks like a deal is almost imminent, and then throughout this we've never quite got through the two hurdles, getting a proposal first through cabinet and then just trying to figure out the parliamentary math. And there was a very nice piece on Bloomberg about that on Friday, and the parliamentary math looked very difficult to get any kind of deal through, and so the market is just swinging between these pessimistic kind of oh no it isn't going to be a deal and it is literally just trading on headlines at the moment.
Okay, let's stick with the currency theme. Today, stronger dollar. Well, I guess everything else is weaker actually, but the dollar strength, is that going to become a big headache for the Trump administration at some point?
Yeah, it's interesting. I wouldn't say it is yet, but certainly if markets do get more defensive and the dollar takes a bit from that, which certainly that's the way it's traded in the last couple of months, and if the U.S. economy also begins to slow, then yes, it is one of the levers which the administration. They began to tug at the dollar lever, in the first part of this year, and then they really backed away from it. But they could easily start to tug on it again, and that could at least begin to restrain dollar strength.
Okay. Having said all that, do you have an investment theme? What are you telling clients at this point?
Well, after we've had such a difficult quarter so far, our main message really is not to panic, because there wasn't really much of a fundamental shift in October. What we saw was a classic just reassessment of sentiment and a little bit of a panic. But right now, investors are underweight quite a lot of risky assets, and the fundamentals are still okay. And so we're basically suggesting that it might be beginning to time to rebuild positions into risky assets.
Where? Dollar, the U.S. or Europe or where? Or emerging markets?
Well, so here's the interesting thing. This might sound a little odd, but these have been odd markets this year. So actually, right now, we would certainly U.S. fundamentals, both the earnings level on the micro and the macro level, earnings are great. So U.S. equities are still good, we think. But actually, also emerging markets, because they're so undervalued and so underowned, then they stand out relative to where we've still got quite weak fundamentals in Europe. So actually, we would go both U.S. and emerging markets, which we appreciate is highly unusual, but these are unusual.
Well, highly unusual also, given the fact that we have the dollar strength. How does that play into EM?
Well, so we're implicitly assuming that we don't get a dollar overshoot, and obviously if we do get risk coming back on, then I think that would also restrain the dollar. And I think that the interesting thing on the dollar is that all the support that it's going to get from continued Fed tightening, a lot of that is already discounted, and it's going to take a big inflation shock or much stronger wage growth to get the Fed going faster than they are. And I think the Fed, to a large extent, is an autopilot, and that's discounted, and that kind of should restrain dollar strength from here.
Michael, thanks a lot. We appreciate it. Michael Metcalf, the global head of macro strategy at State Street this morning. This odd morning when we celebrate Veterans Day, the observance, so the bond market, the cash market is closed. S&P futures right now, they are unchanged. The Dow futures, they're down 34 points. That's down a tenth of a percent. And the NASDAQ E-mini futures right now, 11 points lower, down a tenth of a percent. Dollar strength across the board, the euro right now, 112.55. That's down 0.7%. And sterling, 128.43. That is down a full 1%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Daybreak brought to you by the Israel Philharmonic with conductor Zubin Mehta and violinist Itzhak Perlman at Carnegie Hall for one performance only Sunday, February 3rd. For tickets, visit carnegiehall.org.
Broadcasting live from the Interactive Broker Studio in New York.
Bloomberg 1130.
To Washington, D.C.
Bloomberg 991.
To Boston.
Bloomberg 1061.
To San Francisco.
Bloomberg 960.
To the country.
Sirius XM Channel 119.
And around the globe.
The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm John Tucker. Bloomberg Daybreak being brought to you by the accounting and advisory firm Eisner Amper. Are you experiencing tax turbulence like most businesses? For a tax diagnostic and to connect to resources you need, visit EisnerAmper.com/tax turbulence.
And we're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures are mixed and European equities are lower to begin the new trading week. The U.S. bond market is closed for Veterans Day.
Crude oil is rising after a record 10 straight losses as Saudi Arabia says it will reduce crude sales in December. There's also speculation that OPEC and its allies will cut output next year. Checking crude prices right now, NYMEX crude is up 40 at $60.59 a barrel. Brent is up 92 cents at $71.09.
The pound and the euro are weaker as investors take a dim view of political risks in Europe. Pressure is mounting on UK Prime Minister Theresa May to abandon her Brexit plan or face defeat in Parliament. Bloomberg Daybreak editor Christine Burke has details.
There are more and more lawmakers getting behind this idea that Theresa May has maybe gone a bit too far and that she needs to abandon her current plans and maybe back down a bit. We saw a rare joint statement that was made yesterday in the Sunday Telegraph where we saw senior pro-Brexit lawmakers joining forces with Northern Ireland's DUP party saying that they will block Theresa May's current proposal. So we'll see where we get in the days ahead.
Thanks, Christine. And checking sterling now, it is trading at $1.2840.
The euro is trading near the weakest level in 16 months. Currently, it is at 1.12 per dollar as the European Commission prepares to escalate its budget battle with Italy. Officials in Brussels appear ready to begin a disciplinary process.
Shares of British American Tobacco are down 8% on reports of a possible U.S. ban on menthol cigarettes. That business generates as much as one quarter of BAT's profit.
In deal news, Germany's SAP is making its largest acquisition, buying Qualtrics International for $8 billion. Qualtrics collects data on customers, brands, employees, and products. Shares of SAP are down 3% on the news.
SoftBank is seeking to raise more than $21 billion in the initial public offering of its Japanese telecom operations next month. That would make it Japan's biggest ever IPO.
Alibaba set another sales record during its annual Singles Day event. The Chinese internet giant sold more than $30 billion worth of goods during the 24-hour sale. That's a 27% increase from last year.
S&P futures are little changed. Dow futures down 27. NASDAQ futures up 15. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
And Karen, 5:33 on Wall Street. Let's get the news from around the world. Lisa, good morning once again to Michael Barr.
Thank you, John. More bodies have been found in the wildfire burning around the Northern California town of Paradise. The Camp Fire has burned over 6,400 single-family homes. At least 29 people were killed. Butte County Sheriff Corey Honey.
Currently, there are 228 individuals who have been determined to be unaccounted for.
In Southern California, the number of dead from fires is at 2. Many of the victims appear to have been trying to escape the flames in their cars. The financial burden from the devastating wildfires may reach $19 billion Bloomberg's Ed Baxter reports.
The recurring theme in wildfires burning in both Northern and Southern California today is trying to get people who are fighting to save their homes out and evacuated safely to save their lives. Governor Jerry Brown has asked for federal help and aid and warns,
"This is not the new normal. This is the new abnormal. And this new abnormal will continue, certainly in the next 10 to 15 to 20 years.
By the way, the governor refutes President Trump's claim that the state is at fault for mismanagement. He says the federal government has more land in California than the state does. And Bloomberg News sources say the fires may end up being as costly as Hurricane Michael. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Florida's pivotal races for governor and U.S. Senate have gone to a recount. All 67 counties face a Thursday deadline to complete recounts in the two nationally watched midterm contests. The Democratic candidate for governor, Andrew Gillum, slammed critics of the recount process at his church in Tallahassee last night.
"The governor has filed another lawsuit to try to keep the votes that were counted in Broward County just yesterday from being added to the total tally. These are legal votes."
The recount quickly drew an unfounded rebuke from Trump, tweeting, "Trying to steal two big elections in Florida." House Democrats plan to probe President Trump's involvement in hush payments arranged during the 2016 campaign to two women alleging affairs. That's according to a report in the Wall Street Journal. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. Coming up on 5:36 on Wall Street. Time now for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Report. It's being brought to you by Investors Bank. And good morning, John Stashower.
John, rock bottom for the Jets. Losing at home to the Buffalo Bills 41-10. The Bills scored in the opening minute, added a defensive touchdown. They led 31-0 still in the first half. Facing the NFL's worst offense, the Jets were outgained by more than double the total yards. They lost to a quarterback in Matt Barkley, who had been out of the NFL since 2016, who had only won one NFL game before. He had just joined the Bills 2 weeks ago. The injury to Sam Darnold put 39-year-old Josh McCown in for the Jets. He struggled mightily, intercepted twice. Beleaguered Jets coach Todd Bowles invoked Murphy's Law.
"It was a disappointing loss. It was tough. I've been a part of one of these in a long time. I think since Indianapolis a few years ago on the night game. And we didn't coach well in any aspect of the game. We didn't play well in any aspect of the game. So then that could have went wrong.
Jets have a bye week, then return to play New England. The Patriots will be angry. They just lost to Tennessee. Dallas last night won at Philadelphia 27-20. Both teams are 4-5. A couple of surprising first-place teams in the NFC. Washington and Chicago both won to go to 6-3. Giants are 1-7. They come off the bye week to play tonight in San Francisco against the 2-7 49ers. The game next Monday night could be the best of the season. The Chiefs against the Rams in Mexico City. Both teams are now 9-1. Knicks had a rough night. Let Orlando make 17 three-pointers. They lost to the Magic at the Garden 115-89. This game over early as the Magic led 30-10 after the first quarter. Devils lost in Winnipeg 5-2. They went 1-6 on the long road trip. The Red Bulls won 3-0 at Columbus to advance in the MLS playoffs. They'll now face Atlanta, who ousted NYCFC, winning 3-1. We're at the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. I'm John Stashow. John?
John, thanks. It is now 5:37 on Wall Street. The latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is on newsstands now with a cover on what's ahead for the next 2 years of Donald Trump's presidency. Josh Green wrote the story for Bloomberg Business Week.
As crazy as the first 2 years of Trump's presidency have been with scandals and crises and intra-party fights, Democrats haven't actually had any recourse to stop Trump. Now they do.
You can read more about this and other stories in this week's edition of Bloomberg Business Week. Know what matters and why. Visit businessweek.com or pick up a copy of the magazine on newsstands now. And listen to Business Week with Carol Masser and Jason Kelly weekdays at 2 p.m. Wall Street time right here on Bloomberg Radio. And it is now 5:38 on Wall Street. Time now for the Tri-State Business Report. And we check in with Bloomberg's Ed Khoury. Good morning, Ed.
Hi, John. The Yankees are in talks to buy back the YES Network, according to the New York Post. The discussions come as Disney and 21st Century Fox look to clear their $71 billion merger. A source tells the Post the Yankees will exercise their right of first refusal to buy the 80% of the regional sports network they don't already own. Johnson & Johnson, Merck, Honeywell, and other New Jersey companies that rack up big tax bills could soon qualify for a new state tax credit. New Jersey is considering a program that would auction tax credits to big companies, then match the credits with private venture capital to promote New Jersey-based startup companies. Well, a new condition can now be treated with medical marijuana in Connecticut. The General Assembly's Regulations Review Committee has agreed that chronic pain associated with degenerative spinal disorders is eligible for treatment with cannabis. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey. John?
Ed, thank you. And it's now 5:39 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on WHAS in Louisville. UPS freight drivers have approved a labor contract, ending the threat of a strike.
I'm Andrew O'Day on 1010 Winds of New York. I'm talking about New York Magazine's websites now going behind a paywall.
I'm Steve Potusk, and on KYW in Philadelphia, we're watching shares of Campbell's Soup as the company and an activist investor seek a proxy battle compromise.
I'm Marcus Carlson on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're following Brexit and Germany's plans to lure thousands of bankers from the UK to Frankfurt.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WBBM in Chicago, I'm reporting that wheat prices are on the rise as top producer Kansas deals with weather-related challenges in the fields.
I'm Ed Corey. On KFBK in Sacramento, I'm reporting Apple and Amazon have struck a deal to get the newest iPhones into the hands of Amazon customers.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. Private equity firm Veritas Capital and sometime activist fund Elliott Management are close to a deal to buy Athena Health. Bloomberg has learned the all-cash transaction would value the company at $5.5 billion. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Daybreak brought to you by Marks Paneth LLP. Marks Paneth accountants and advisors have helped closely held and family businesses reach their goals for over 100 years. At Marks Paneth, success is personal. Learn more at markspaneth.com/success.
The only global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures are bouncing around a bit this morning. They are higher again. S&P futures up 3.5 points right now. Dow futures are up 4. NASDAQ futures up 27. And we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Stocks in Europe are lower. The DAX in Germany is down about 0.5%. The CAC in Paris is up 0.1%. And the FTSE 100 is up 0.4%. The U.S. bond market is closed today in observance of Veterans Day. NYMEX crude oil is higher. It's up 0.9%, up 53 cents, at $60.71 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.1%, down $1 to $12.07.60 an ounce. The euro at $1.12.66, and the yen is at 113.94. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, Florida is recounting more than 8 million ballots from last week's midterm election. The races for governor and Senate are within a half a percentage point. Republican Senate candidate and current Governor Rick Scott leads Democratic Senator Bill Nelson by just 12,500 votes. In the race for governor, Democrat Andrew Gillum trails Republican Ron DeSantis by 33,000 votes. The most destructive series of wildfires in California history have killed at least 31 people, with hundreds missing. In the NFL, the Jets lost to the Bills 41-10. The Patriots and Raiders also lost. The Redskins won. Tonight, the Giants are at the 49ers. In the NBA, the Knicks and Celtics lost. In the NHL, the Devils lost. Along with the Capitals, the Bruins won. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it's 5:49 on Wall Street. And it's time now to check in with Bloomberg Opinion, our platform offering informed perspectives on a range of global topics and expert data-driven commentary on breaking news. And we're joined live now by Jennifer Ryan, Bloomberg Opinion Editor in our London Bureau. Happy Monday, Jen. Let's start off with this piece from Julian Lee. If OPEC thought its job done, 2019 is going to be a shock. Saudi Arabia sees a need for OPEC to cut oil output by 1 million barrels a day, and that's certainly giving a bid to crude prices this morning. How do we get to this point?
Well, to see where we started from, go back to 2016, and that's when OPEC, along with several non-OPEC countries, reached a deal to cut oil supply. The aim here was to drain excess inventories from the system, and the arrangement was supposed to last for 6 months. But really, they needed to keep going because the glut proved really persistent. And so Saudi Arabia started cutting shipments to the U.S. in the middle of 2017, and that's when prices really began to pick up. And so there we were in the middle of 2018 with prices up around $80 a barrel.
And then the ever-present tweets from one Donald Trump. How did that figure into the situation?
Well, once prices got that high, Donald Trump thought he'd take to Twitter to rebuke the group. And so now this is an issue that the group is going to have to juggle as it tries to also meet its own revenue needs alongside the needs of its producers. And so total OPEC output is now the highest since before the cuts were introduced. And they've proved to be a double-edged sword because, yeah, it's boosted revenues for some countries such as Venezuela, but it's also lit a fire under U.S. shale.
Okay, the renewal of the sanctions on Iran, how come that didn't take a huge chunk of supply off the market?
I mean, it was fair enough to expect that new sanctions on Iran would remove some supply. But what's happened is that the waivers that some countries received from the sanctions have turned out to be unexpectedly generous. And so this has raised the possibility that Iran's overseas oil sales could actually rise in November.
So in the near term, what's in store for oil producers?
Well, producers might actually get a respite from falling prices in the next few weeks because U.S. refineries' output could rise by as much as 1.5 million barrels a day by the end of the year as plants return from their fall maintenance. But Lee warns that boost is going to be short-lived, and 2019 is looking like another difficult year for OPEC and its friends.
Let's move on to our next piece. This comes from Alex Webb. SAP's $8 billion deal price needs some explaining. Webb says the German software giant paying an awful lot for a startup. What's the attraction?
So it's paying this amount of money for Qualtrics, a maker of data collection and analysis software. And, you know, the expectation of revenue for the company is just $400 million this year, but the big lure is the 40% growth rate. The premium is absolutely massive for a company that was actually already preparing an IPO.
And how are investors taking it?
Well, SAP Chief Executive Officer Bill McDermott seems very aware of investor nervousness of the deal because SAP had set everyone up at the beginning of the year for the idea that at most it would be doing small bolt-on acquisitions, and this is far from that. The shares fell as much as 4.7% on Monday, though they did come back a bit, but that suggests that shareholders just are still sort of taken aback by the deal.
Okay, Jan, thanks a lot. We appreciate it. You can read more on this and other stories from Bloomberg Opinion at Bloomberg.com/opinion and on the Bloomberg Terminal by typing O-P-I-N, go. Karen.
Thanks, Sean. It's 5:52 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg Law Report. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning with Steve Podisk in the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington newsroom.
A federal judge has threatened to sanction the U.S. Labor Department if it doesn't speed up production of documents in a lawsuit over a new initiative that allows employers to admit to minimum wage or overtime violations without penalty if they pay back the wages owed. Environmental groups told a federal judge President Trump overstepped his authority in opening Arctic waters and deep canyon shelves in the Atlantic Ocean to oil and gas drilling. And new IRS regulations allow hurricane and wildfire victims to tap their 401ks to rebuild their lives.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
Now, another legal news. It's another setback for the long-delayed Keystone XL pipeline project, with a federal judge in Montana blocking construction pending further environmental review. For more on this story, Bloomberg's June Grasso speaks with Chuck Warren, a partner at Kramer Levin.
This is one of these situations where the Trump administration rushed something, and under the Administrative Procedure Act, you have to have a reasoned explanation for why you're taking such action. And the judge, in a fairly long opinion, 54-page opinion, basically said they disregarded the facts that were previously found in the earlier environmental study, particularly on climate-related impacts. They use outdated information. And you know, to look at the impact of potential oil spills on endangered species, and they didn't really look at the best scientific data and commercial data that was available, and they really didn't take into account some newer projects that came online and what that meant for the oil market. So they really just made conclusory statements and to try to say we're finding, you know, otherwise than the Obama administration had found. And the judge said, basically, that's not adequate. You can't do that.
Did he make any statements on climate change itself and how the pipeline would affect climate change?
No, they're not. No, he basically was saying that the Obama administration had done an he did comment on the Obama administration had done an extensive look at all of this, and that they found that there would be impacts on climate change, and that the Trump administration just basically didn't have a reasoned explanation as to why that wasn't so. They didn't really cite any facts or anything like that. They just said, well, you know, that doesn't apply or something like that. So it was really one of those situations where they rushed to do something and they really didn't do what the law requires, particularly when you're trying to reverse a finding that the government has made based on, you know, serious studies and work.
That's Chuck Warren, a partner at Kramer 11, speaking with Bloomberg's Jun Grasso. You can listen to more legal analysis like this on Bloomberg Politics, Policy, Power, and Law, weekdays at 12 p.m. Wall Street time here on Bloomberg Radio, and find more legal news at BloombergLaw.com. Attorneys will find exceptional legal research and business development tools there as well. Visit BloombergLaw.com for more information. John.
And Karen, 5:56 out Wall Street. It's time now for the Bloomberg ETF report, being brought to you by Oppenheimer Funds. Challenge the status quo with ETFs that adapt monthly to an ever-changing world. Find out more at oppenheimerfunds.com/ETFs. Here's Bloomberg's Pim Fox.
Real estate investment trust ETFs have been lagging the S&P 500. Here to tell us more about it is Eric Balchunas, ETF analyst for Bloomberg Intelligence. What's going on with these REIT-focused ETFs?
Yeah, this is a classic case of rate-sensitive stocks, right? So everybody piled into REIT ETFs. For a while, they were the biggest sector by assets, believe it or not. Tech's a little bigger, but
because people are looking for income.
Yeah, they yield 5, 6%, right? So as rates go up, you know, let's say there's 3% in a treasury, the idea of going out to take risk with stocks becomes less desirable. Some people sell, and that has REITs down on the year. So as rates keep rising, this should get more painful for REITs. But if rates, you know, flatten or fall, you could see some people come back in. But it's pretty bad right now for those ETFs.
Thanks very much. Eric Balchunas, ETF analyst for Bloomberg Intelligence. This has been the ETF Report. I'm Pim Fox.
All right, Pim, thank you. And futures this morning, S&P futures are up 2 points, Dow futures down 8, and NASDAQ futures rising up 24 right now. The DAX in Germany is down 0.6%. There is no trading on the U.S. bond market today. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.5% or 29 cents to $60.48 a barrel. COMEX gold, meanwhile, lower, down 0.1% on $1.70 to $12.06.90 an ounce. The euro at $1.1265 and the yen is at 113.92. And Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.